Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be damned if the same politicians who refused to act then are going to try to come back today.
The real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for.
When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
A system of justice will be the richer for diversity of background and experience.
All right, Kaylin, it's time for our final crooning session.
Here we go.
Here we go. And correction! Hello, everybody. It's me, Miss Cracker. I'm here with my co-pilot, Kaylin, and it's time for She's a Woman! She's a Woman is a podcast for every human being who looks into the mirror and says, she's a woman, and for the people who love them. Every week, even when we're across the pond for a little time in London, we talk to incredible women of all kinds from all walks of life and invite them to share their stories with you, our incredible listeners. And that's exactly what we're going to do today, Kaylin. However, we have a bittersweet announcement today.
Yes, we do.
Listeners, we have reached the end of season one, making this a season finale for our bright-eyed and bushy-tailed project, possibly a series finale. You see, when we started She's a Woman podcast, we had two goals. One, to amplify the voices of incredible women of all kinds from all walks of life. And two, to get ourselves and everyone else through the worst of the pandemic with good stories, good news, and a little laughter. Today, Kaylin, I'm sitting at this tiny desk in a London hotel with you. I feel like we have accomplished both of those goals in the most wonderful way. We have shared portraits of over 40 incredible women. We have delved into over 40 heartwarming headlines. And now, from where we stand, we see that the pandemic has not ended, but it has shifted. And for the first time in years, we are able to venture out into the world. So we really did provide comfort through some crucial weeks, months, almost years, crates.
Yeah, and we kept ourselves sane.
Yeah,
too,
we did.
With it. Reminding each other that there's so many things we still have yet to learn, so many new people we have yet to meet, and that there's always animals doing great things out there.
I forgot that it was also like, we had like some psychotherapy sessions at the beginning of our podcast too.
For sure.
Like, talking about our goals, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we should like go listen to those old episodes, check in on those goals, because I don't really remember what they were.
Well, but like this year we had some book goals. Like, I wanted to read 2 books a month, and I have held to my goal. I'm on track with 2 books a month. That's
book
amazing. Every 2 weeks when last year was not so great.
No, it was like a book every 2 months, maybe.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you're reading like what?
I wanted to do 75 books. So I'm a little behind, but I think I can catch up.
You think you can catch up? You've dwarfed me.
Like pace-wise, I'm probably about 3 books behind, but I think if I have some good reading moments, I could catch myself back up and get on track to 75 books.
In any case, today is going to be a little bit different. Instead of running a single interview, we're actually going to be running 2 interviews, 2 catch-up chats with some of our favorite guests on the show, just to investigate where they were when we first found them and what they've been up to since their episode aired. I can't think of a better way to celebrate what we've been doing here, looking at women's stories as we always do, but most importantly, looking for hope of a bright future for everyone. So, Kaylin, let's talk about this. Like, where did we start with this podcast? Because your memory is better than mine. Do you remember when we started and like what the world was like and what we were like at that time?
When did we start? Was it like, I think we started our interviews in December of 2020.
Right.
But I want to say it.
Oh, wait, what's that? Listeners, we have a knock on our door.
Hello, are you in the service?
No, we're okay. Thank you so much.
Listeners,
good stuff.
A little ambiance. We really are in a hotel room in London.
Yep.
But yeah, yeah, you're right. It was.
But I think it was like we started recording December 2020 or some or around yeah. that, and
then we wanted to run it to December 2021.
I think something like that. Yeah.
Now it's 2022. We're a little off track.
I know we're definitely off track. Honestly, we started touring again, and we just kind of
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we aren't good at managing our time management skills.
I guess that's what I wanted to say, though, is when we started this, we were, like, dead in the water.
Yeah, we needed something to feel inspired to do and feel inspired by.
So
because we went through so much with all the entire entertainment industry being shut during COVID. We wanted something to get us up in the morning.
And this is our way to talk to you. This was our way to talk to you, and it's been really incredible to have this together. And I don't know, I like you said, we started this to keep ourselves from going insane, and now we have what we wanted. We have tours and gigs, and we hope that you out there listening to us are doing your thing too, and that you're loving what you're doing, and that you too are finding that the world is opening up, and that the things that you love are more possible. That the people you love are more accessible.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, Caitlin, I want to dive right into our weekly interview segment, but first I have a little treat for you.
Okay, our last good news.
Our last good news. Listeners, as you may know, every week we do a little segment called Here's the Good News, where we share positive stories torn from the headlines, Caitlin. The idea is that they'll bring you, our listeners, a little hope during these difficult times. And this week, our news is all about our changing world. To start, I should say this, Caitlin. As we've said before, when we launched this podcast, the world, and especially our city, had come to a halt. Streets were empty, restaurants were closed. I could see flags flying at half-mast from my window in my living room. But here's the good news. Things are finally beginning to shift here in New York, and they probably are in your hometown too. For example, I remember walking through Times Square on a hike down the island of Manhattan one day in 2020 and seeing absolutely no one, not a single person. According to the New York Times, though, Times Square is buzzing again with more than 330,000 pedestrians on the busiest days, and that's nearly 80% of the foot traffic before the pandemic. So you did a walk too through Manhattan, didn't you, during the pandemic?
I did. It was a little bit further into the pandemic, so it wasn't like deserted. But it was like we were walking the entire city with our mask on because it was still, you were still wearing mask outdoors even.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a change. I feel like there's not a lot of outdoor mask wearing happening anymore in New York. And probably not in most places if you're outside.
Right. And you could also, I think, I walked with you on that hike a little bit. You could see how many places had closed, especially restaurants and
beloved coffee shops. Places we would walk by and we'd be like, oh my God, they went out of business?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or places that everything was still only outdoor dining then too.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was like emptier, a little sadder. Places that we loved were closed. And some places that we didn't even know about had signs on their doors like, thanks for 84 years.
I know.
It's like so sad. But that's changing. Businesses are opening back up too. Midtown Manhattan, the heart of our city with all its skyscrapers, used to be an empty shell. Now offices are returning to life. Restaurants are returning to life. Parks are returning to life.
It is 5 p.m.
5 p.m. The bell is tolling in our little boutique hotel. Anyway, businesses, restaurants, parks are returning to life. In Bryant Park, the lunch crowd swelled to 3,500 people a day last month, or about 83% of its level in 2019, according to the Bryant Park Corporation, a nonprofit. It is offering salsa, swing, and foxtrot parties, an expanded outdoor reading room, and a full lineup of summer movie nights. And as you're listening to this, listeners, I'm hoping.
You're hoping.
And as you're listening to this, my dear listeners, I hope that your town is opening up too, that your parks and your businesses and your restaurants. Kayla, stop laughing at me.
I didn't realize that you put a hope opening. And opening together. God.
We're losing it. You can hear that we're happy, everybody. You can hear that we are having a good time. I mean, damn it, we're in London, our favorite place to be in the world, and we've been kept from it for so long.
We gotta go to the Bryant Park movie nights.
Yeah, we do.
Let's do it.
Join us, everybody. Yeah. We will be going to Bryant Park for movie nights
this summer. We're gonna do a picnic.
Yeah, we can do. I will bring the rosé and some crackers and cheese, even though my doctor says that that's why my cholesterol is so high, is I don't eat anything but crackers and cheese. But anyway, we wanted to send our love, basically, everybody. Tell you that our city is blossoming again and that we're seeing the world be a little bit of a brighter place. And if we play our cards right, we might see the world open up ever more in the coming months. So here's hoping for that. But for now, let's take a little break. Okay, we're back. Now, before we continue, let me say this. If you enjoy your time with us today, make sure to rate and review this podcast. We have always loved reviews.
We will always love reviews. And we will miss them as we
move forward.
Yeah, but you could still send us nice notes just about our general persona.
Yeah, exactly. You can. And also, if you want to comment about how your hometown is opening up and changing and how things are changing for you, feel free to do that. I mean, we want to hear from you. So just go into any of the apps that stream podcasts and rate and review, and we'll look at them because we're like that.
They make us happy. They make us happy.
We're a little bit narcissistic.
We need validation.
Yeah. We love reviews, in short. In fact, we love them so much, we're going to read one of our favorite reviews at the end of the show, possibly.
Maybe.
We're going to dig in there and see if there is one. But now it's time for the meat, not the potatoes, Caitlin.
But the meat.
The meat of the show, our interviews. We have two interviews lined up today, and I can't wait to dive in. All right, so everybody, our first call is with Sarah Silverman, owner of the extremely popular Funny Face Bakery on the South Street Seaport. When we first talked to Sarah, she was a blossoming entrepreneur with one dream and one storefront to fulfill it. Now she's taking things a step further. So we just had to check in. Sarah, I'm going to ask you what I always ask. Where are you? How are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
Hi, Miss Cracker. First off, I love you.
I love you too. I'm so glad that we met this podcast.
I know. I feel like we definitely hit it off. I mean, we still need to get drinks soon, but you've just been traveling around the world. Okay, so the gossip. Since we last spoke, I moved into a 4,000 square foot production space where we make all of our cookies in Dembo. We opened up our store in Wall Street in the Seaport, which has been a huge success. And then 2 months ago, we opened up our store on Lafayette, right near Soho. So it's a lot has happened since we last spoke.
Yeah, that's a lot. Now, for comparison, when we talked, you had one storefront in the West Village.
Yes, I don't like to talk about that because it was just, I mean, I was really just starting out brand new after COVID, and it was the cheapest thing I could find. It was always cold in there. I was always trying to get hot water. It was not fun, so we can't talk about it.
Oh, but no, it's great to talk about that because just to mention it, because look how far you've come, and in a time when things are really difficult for small businesses, growing businesses, I should say. So you've opened a storefront on the Seaport and on Wall Street. Can you talk about the new space in the Wall Street area and what that has been like?
Yeah, it kind of just happened. I was actually talking to the people who run the Seaport before COVID, and then I reached back out to them like after 2021, like, hey, what's up? And they said, hey, we need Funny Face Bakery at the Seaport. And we got the store ready in 3 weeks, my two partners and I, and I got this really cute jewelry case off of Facebook Marketplace that it just looks so beautiful. And if I got it made, it'd be probably like $20,000, but I got it like for an amazing price. And it's been a big hit. And let's see. Then now in Lafayette, we just opened it. This time we actually had a very talented interior designer design it. Madeline Ringo, and it looks like you're walking into Polly Pocket's house. It's a dream come true.
Now, that could be said of both of your spaces because they both have the Miss Cracker approved pastels and like lavender and pale pink and mint green. And is that the vibe for the new space as well?
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for your approval. That really means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Well, when we walked into the opening party for your South Street Seaport store, we were like, oh my gosh, I feel like this is the womb that gave me birth. Like, this is all of my style comes out of this palette. So, yeah, really beautiful.
We had a very funny interaction when you came to that party.
Yes, we did. Can you tell our listeners about that interaction a little bit?
Can we please?
Yes.
I feel like I'll start in the beginning, and I feel like you say best in the end. So I'll say like, you know, I'm working the front. It was for friends and family, and of course I had to invite Miss Cracker. And you know, I'm handing out cookies to all my friends, and I see like, you know, this cute guy, and I'm like, I don't know, is this guy crashing my party? And I kind of give him a dirty look. I'm like, this is my party.
And I was like, hello, it's me. And you were like, what? Oh.
God, I can't believe I just gave you a dirty look. It was like, honestly, one of the funniest things, that just because I've never seen you like not as Miss Cracker. So it was definitely an experience, but it was so funny.
Yeah, it was really great when we got to take a little Polaroid of you for my Polaroid project that I was doing at that time. And I don't know, it was a wonderful opening. You have wonderful people around you and just so much like in my memory, I was thinking that we had talked after you had opened your South Street Seaport location already. But you're right. When I think back to the podcast, you hadn't even done that yet. And so you've grown so much. And what does it mean to you to have that huge, like 4,000 square foot space to create your work in? Like how has that made things different?
So sad. I feel like so much has happened in the past year, and like so much has happened. And I feel like I haven't even though everyone's like, I tell this to my friend, they're like, Sarah, you've done so much. I'm like, what? I feel like I haven't done much. And my dad's like, because there's still so much to do. But it's weird. It's, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome, but I know we've done an insane amount of accomplishments, but it feels like I have not done enough yet.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Let's get into therapy.
Because that implies, all right, that implies that you haven't let any of this sink in yet. And I wonder if you have any ideas about why you're not absorbing it. Do you think it's really because it's not big enough or because you're just not appreciating it enough? I'm wondering where you stand on that.
I kind of wish that I would like to remember how far I've come, but it's just so difficult. I mean, of course, I love it. I wouldn't trade anything for this. Like, I'm so happy and I'm so blessed that I get to do this. But I don't like to think back on it because it reminds me of the struggles, the tears, the long hours I worked, the 24 hours, not going to friends' birthday parties. And yeah, so I don't let it sink in because I don't want to think about it.
That's, you know what? That's really interesting because I feel like I understand you because...
Really?
Yeah. People talk about these past couple of years and they're like, oh, well, look at how many tours you've done since things have opened up. Isn't that so wonderful? And I'm like, yeah, it is, but I don't really think about that because all of that was just a struggle to get out of the debt and the depression and the, do you know what I mean? Like,
all
of those tours, yeah, all of those tours could have, should have been great, and they really, really, really were. But I'm looking forward because I want to do even bigger things now. And I totally get you. And I think maybe that's the thing about our personalities that makes us work so hard is because we're like, we have those little, what do they call them? Like a Peaky Blinders on horses where like they can only look forward.
Yes.
Like that's us. We're just like, we have to think about the next thing.
It's kind of sad though. I wish that I could remember it, but I don't, it really brings me back and kind of triggers me. And I used to love reading like entrepreneurial books, and now I'll read them and I'm reading my life, and I don't want to read them because it's like, I feel the stress. Yeah. It's so yes, we're just looking ahead. We're not thinking about the past.
For me, I want to write a new one woman show. I'm working on it right now. And I want to take it on the road across the UK, across America, wherever I can take it, because it's all about foolishness and happiness, and I really want to be living in that right now, because I've done enough shows about the suffering and the sort of like downside of life and sort of like making fun of myself, and I really want to create something that's going to make me happy, make my audience super happy, make everyone laugh and leave with a smile. Because if you look at the world right now, it is a cliche that I get tired of hearing, but we do need to escape every once in a while. We do need to take a breather so that we can actually participate in the world the following morning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I think we do need that. And my partners and I talk about that also about our business, especially with a lot of business are getting into politics and sharing their views, which I think is totally great. But we think like with our business, we want it to be an escape also. So we're like, okay, let's not, even though it's funny, we started out being a political business, but now we're like, let's try to let this be an escape. So I think a lot of, I think there definitely needs to be a balance of businesses and entertainers where there could be an escape.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think so many people view escape as avoidance, but if you just allow yourself a little bit of escape every once in a while, that's not avoidance. That's just like hitting refresh, I think, in a way. So obviously thinking about you looking forward all the time, I want to pry a little bit, and I don't want you to give away secrets about the near future, but I want to know what's that big ring that you want to grab that's ahead of you. What's the like biggest dream that you could have for Funny Face and this business that you have that makes so many people happy?
Wow. Well, first off, I'm so excited about your new venture. I definitely cannot wait to see. It sounds amazing.
I'm going to do it in Provincetown this summer. So if we have any time to escape, you should come to Provincetown and come and see it. But otherwise,
I'm coming to Provincetown. That's it.
Otherwise, I'll bring it to your front door. Anyway, go on.
That'll be easier. Okay. So let's see. Okay, so we are known for these decorated sugar cookies, which are amazing. Like, nobody else makes them like us. I mean,
no.
Even people just say the colors we pick, the designs, it's just our style, and they're so cool. But, okay, I mean, we came up with this amazing gooey. Yeah, you've had our gooey chocolate chip cookies, right?
They are so addictive. And
yeah.
Each one is like a full meal, but you end up having two full meals somehow. Those cookies are so delicious. Yes. Very familiar with them.
So, and not a lot of people are because, you know, the decorated cookies are the spotlight, but I really want to spread the word about our gooey cookies.
Yeah. Oh, this is, listeners, if you are in the New York City area, or even if you're not, fly, because they're... gooey cookies are, which come in multiple flavors, are so delicious. And even when you're not there, and this is how I sort of got a whiff of what you were up to, Sarah. We drop by the Seaport because we always have work down there, and we pick up those gooey, delicious chocolate chip cookies. And one time we walked by and we asked, You know, is Sarah here? And they, like, everyone that was there sort of looked at each other in this way. I was like, Sarah's up to something big right now. So that's kind of how I got a clue that you were moving on to even bigger things this year.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Cracker. I'm important and busy. So
yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We love that. You know? We love that.
You could have texted me.
Yeah, we always try to surprise you.
I know. Oh my God. It's so cool. I love
it. It's going to be, we're going to call enough of that this coming summer, and we're going to finally make some latkes together, have some drinks.
Yes, we are. We're going to do the pora together.
Yes.
Have some body shovets.
Exact. Well, don't push it that far. I can have an entire chocolate chip cookie from your bakery, but I cannot have something as sweet as Manischewitz on top of it. Like, you don't want me to pass out.
Okay.
But I just wanted to, like, catch up with you and let our listeners know that our guests have been doing incredible things. You certainly have been. And I can't wait to see what you do next, because you always have something up your sleeve. And
oh my God, can I just say also, Miss Cracker, so we just, before COVID, we were doing a lot of things with celebrities. We were really building up the hype about us. COVID happened. Everyone kind of, like, you know, forgot a little bit. And we reached out to you, and you were the one who really put us back on the map, you know, when we that record label. I mean, you know, the record together. So,
yeah,
you know, you were forever in Funny Face Bakery's heart, and you are VIP for life.
Well, thank you so much. And you have brought joy not only to me and to Caitlin, but to my family as well. You are part of our household in such a big way.
I cannot.
Yeah. My mother and her crochet animals, and my sister and her son, they all just love a package from Funny Face Bakery as much as we love to come down and visit you. So thank you for bringing us joy. And I'm hearing that we helped put you on the map or contributed to that in any way really makes me a very happy, happy lady, a very happy drag queen. Yeah.
We love you, Miss Cracker. You're great.
Well, take care. And we hope, well, I know we'll be talking to you very soon.
We will.
Okay. So our second call today is with Kat Cohen. When we first talked to this comedienne. She had just published sometimes witty, sometimes poignant poetry. Now her career has taken a little twist, and that's why we want to catch up with her today. So, Miss Cohen, how are you doing? Where are you? What's going on? Tell me about it.
I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me. I am in my apartment in New York City. As I just told you, I just froze my eggs this morning. I just got my little egglets suckled out of me so that I can have a daughter when I turn 65.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the daughter. Can I ask, do you know what her name is yet?
Oh, that's such a great question. No, I have to first figure out what I want to name my a dog I get eventually, and then I'll move on to kids.
And what's your current dog's name, just so we can be clear?
Well, this is my brother's dog that I'm watching right now. His name is Lunchbox. How cute is
Perfect.
That?
Perfect. Yeah. I always wanted a dog named Pasta.
That is so cute. I was like one text away from getting a puppy. I always say pomegranate, a puppy Pomeranian. And I was going to name her Miss Baby. And then everyone in my life was like, stop. You cannot have a puppy right now. You need to get control of your life and stop talking about Miss Baby.
Wait, so do you have control of your life yet? That's what I want to ask.
I'm definitely getting there. I'm getting there. I mean, I'm really proud of myself for getting my shit together and doing the egg freezing thing, because I talked about it for a long time, and now they'll be in the freezer whenever I'm ready to think about that. I'm not ready yet.
Right.
Obviously, we're laughing. We're laughing.
We're laughing. We're having a great time. I'm having some Prosecco.
I love that.
So when we last talked to you, as I said, you had just released some poetry,
yes,
which, as I said, was absolutely like poignant at sometimes, at sometimes very witty and very irreverent. And now you've moved on to a whole different level. And can you tell us what your recent projects have been for everyone
Sure.
who's missed it?
Oh my God, I'm so honored. I've put out my first Netflix special. So I taped a show I've been doing in New York for like almost 5 years called The Twist, She's Gorgeous. And we taped it for Netflix in September, and then it came out a few months ago. So I'm so thrilled. It very much was, you know, we were supposed to tape in 2020. So it's one of those things that I'm just, you know, my brain is now broken and I have a completely different worldview. And I'm just so excited that it's out there that I'm just beyond thrilled. It's been amazing.
So does it feel good to be able to, does it feel like you're able to leave something behind now that's been following you around? Does that feel like cathartic?
Totally. And now I can move on. You know, I'm not performing any of that material anymore. So now I'm writing new jokes and working on a new hour. And that feels good. As you know, some of those jokes I wrote like in, you know, 2015, which just feels insane now to
right.
be saying them. I'm like, I'm a new person.
Yeah. I filmed my special in June of last year. And it's just
heaven.
Just 1 year ago, but it feels like a whole lifetime. And
right.
I'm so glad to let go. I went on tour with those jokes. Love them. God bless them. But I'm just so glad to be able to leave them behind. And with the special coming out this summer, on whatever platform it comes out on, we'll find out. Surprise! Surprise
did
me.
Did you have a little bit of a post-taping depression? Because you like release, you like give, you like have like a postpartum vibes.
Can we talk about that? That's what my mother is a painter, and she always talks about the postpartum vibes of when you create something that you feel like it really represents you, and then you're like, wait, am I ever going to create something that represents me again? Like,
totally.
Did you feel that after your special? Because I definitely felt it after mine.
Yeah, well, we threw that fabulous party. You were there. You were a hit. Everyone was so... people were screaming, like screaming when they saw you at the party. It was so fun.
I was so happy to be there.
It was such a great night. But after that, I woke up the next morning like so hungover, so I just started crying, like, but I didn't know why. But it was truly just releasing... yeah, this thing that I had, it summed up my entire life up to that point almost. And so now I'm like, so I had, you know, what, 25-ish years to do the first one. And now I have like another, I'm supposed to do it again in like a year. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Yeah.
Right?
I was like, yeah, I have like 35 years of jokes ready. I've been telling them since first grade. And then now I have to come up with something that sums up this last era, like this last era being only a year. So
exactly.
I'm like, do you feel like you have to come up with a whole new structure or a whole new point of view? Or do you feel like you're going to just dive in right where you left off?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm always sort of trying to come up with new things, and I'm just not thinking too much about what someone else might see and just going off of how the new stuff feels to me. What does
right.
your mom say about the painting process?
Well, she says that you have to recognize that the postpartum feeling is going to happen, and you have to embrace it, and you can't try to create within that space. So let yourself have that moment of grief, let yourself have that moment of confusion and hormonal craziness, and then when it feels right, dive in again. Don't try to force yourself to create when your body and your psyche is not prepared. Totally. So I feel like recognizing that is so important. When you're burnt out, you can get lost in that feeling that you have nothing else to offer, when really that's just a moment. Does that make sense?
Too much sense.
Yeah.
I was really down. I upped the Prozac. That helped. I started Cymbalta. Working out more. Yeah, we got it. We got it popping off. Like, we had to... I'm finally feeling, you know, I took time to do this egg thing. I feel like I'm just trying to be okay with stepping away and taking a sec, but it's scary because we're forced to be like constantly posting, constantly putting ourselves out there. Like, it's a competition, and if I don't win, I'm going to die. Mattel, why are we like this?
I know. This is something that I've done for myself recently. I have decided not to open Instagram on my phone for a little while.
Yes.
Just to be like, you know what, here I am, and I'm not looking at what other people are doing. But I have to ask for you, like, was it a surreal experience to have that party? You had so many of your colleagues, you had so many of your peers, you had so many admirers there. Did it feel, when you had the launch party for your Netflix special, like, did it feel surreal?
Yeah, it felt like my wedding. It's definitely better than any wedding I could have.
Right.
To me, it felt like the stress was all around the taping. And so once it was out, it was all good vibes, all celebrations. I only invited people who have been kind and supportive of me. Fuck the rest. And my family was there. It was just a really special, it was just about trying to enjoy the hard work I've been putting in, which is difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah. So you had a really great response. Like, Caitlin, my co-pilot, and I have been following the reviews and the response to your special. And there's been so much love around it, especially from the New York audience that knows and loves you so much. And I wonder, how did you navigate the response around the special? Like, how did you... blind yourself to certain things? How did you, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you have to be so delicate with yourself when you're consuming. Okay, talk about the hell. I want to hear about the hell.
I think, it just blacked out. I think, first of all, it's never enough. The good praise is never enough. I'm like, I literally was sitting here like a week after being like, okay, so no one cares about the special. My boyfriend's like, shut the fuck up. You sound insane. We went on vacation. We went to Colorado, and every restaurant I walked in, I was like, okay, I guess no one here has seen my Netflix special. They're like, shut the fuck up, you dumb bitch. So the good praise is never enough. And any little, as you know, any ounce of bad praise can like sit with you for days. But I think for this particular project, I'm so confident in it that none of the negative feedback could deter me for long. I think there are other projects. Like, if I put out something new, I'm like, well, I guess I'm just saying I would never be able to put out something that I couldn't 100% stand behind, because I know it's going to get negative feedback no matter what you do. Like, it'd be insane if everyone was like, we love this forever, it's perfect. Like, that would probably mean that it sucks. So
you're like, what's going on here? Where's the other shoe?
And I like to think I'm angering the right people. Like, there were a lot of angry men in the comments saying, you know, women aren't funny. Or someone commented, I didn't know makeup could make someone uglier, which is one of my favorite comments I've ever gotten. One time, I can be dirty on this, right? One time someone said, this is my favorite feedback I've ever gotten.
Please be dirty.
Someone said, I wouldn't fuck her with someone else's cock. Kind of genius, honestly. I'm like, you have to give it up for that one.
See, and being a comedian means inspiring other comedians, and that's what you did there.
It was,
you
know, outreach. I mean? Yeah, I was doing community service. I think the feedback that sucks is when it's other people you respect or you like who don't seem to be, you know, ecstatic about it. But that's also, say it with me, jealousy.
Jealousy.
Jealousy. I also try not to look. And I, similarly to you, I don't have Twitter on my phone, and I download the Instagram app to post, and then I delete it. And then I download it to post, delete it. There's no point.
Yeah. Yeah, don't because you like you're looking. You,
yeah.
It makes you sick. I think that because I recognize that when I post on Instagram, I'm posting the most delicious, rare steak moments of mm-hmm. my life. Ooh, and none of the like difficult bowel movements that I have. So when I look at other people's posts, I totally forget that somehow. And I'm like, oh no, their life is fully delicious. Do you know what I mean? And totally. So I can't stand it. And I had to take a step. The great American artist Selena Gomez has yes. also done the same thing. She's taken a step away from social media, and she mm-hmm. said her life feels like less toxic. So, you know, I'm like, I have permission. I have permission.
Absolutely.
So the special is out. You're working on new material. Mm-hmm. Do you feel, since we're giving a like birth metaphor into this, can we talk about the labor pains of writing a new show?
Absolutely.
Do you have, what are your labor pains of writing new material as you're going forward?
I think for me, I had to sit down, and my tendency is to have like 10 million ideas that are like barely formed at all and be frustrated that I don't have a finished product in any of them. So I kind of sat down, made a list of everything I'd like to do. And then I zeroed in on like, okay, what are two or three things that I really care about? So then literally like this week, I was like, okay, now I'm going to make time for like two things, and the other things will just have to wait for now. And that's right. helpful for me.
Yeah. Just to say, okay, this is what's most important to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, in my new show that I'm doing, I'm trying to focus on just stuff that's silly.
Uh-huh.
Like nothing that mocks me, because I've mocked myself enough. Nothing about the darkness of the pandemic, because we've already been there. We've already gone over that. And I'm just trying to do like, what if I gave myself permission to do all of the dumb things that I thought were too foolish to do before? And
that sounds
I
like
think
a show
that's,
I want to see immediately.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to come out in a giant clamshell and dance around like I'm an Ivers ad. And I think that that's where I want to go for this moment. So what I want to ask before we let you go is, you've got the Netflix special, you've got the book of poetry. What's something that you want to do next that you haven't achieved yet, that's in the dream, with this on the mood board for you?
I really want to write and star in a feature.
Yeah.
Film, with an E at the end. Film.
Film.
So that's the goal. So I have two kind of script ideas I'm working on, and hopefully one of them will come to life one day. Wait, but I was going to ask you, I'm curious, do you have like a creative routine every day? Are you a routine person, or like me, in which you just hope one day that you'll feel inspired and then it happens and then it doesn't for 3 weeks?
Well, what happens is I lay out time in my calendar mm-hmm. for writing, and what writing means, in case you don't know, listeners, what writing means is walking around in circles for yep. hours. And then one day you'll write for 30 minutes and it will be like 5 pages of material. But in order to get there, you need to waste 7 days.
That is so accurate. I always say it's lots of stretching on the floor too. It's like,
right.
It's like, I don't know why I'm on the floor right now, but this feels important to the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, good. That's
I think it was Ambrose Bierce that said that writing is easy. All you have to do is stare at a blank page until blood comes out of your forehead. And I think that's the best way to describe it for me. It's
oh my
just
God,
like,
it's so true.
It is not a fun process. People are like, do you like writing? I'm like, no, I like to have written.
Exactly.
And that's where I am now.
There's nothing better than that.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm so glad that I did write. I'm not looking forward to writing.
Oh, where are you performing next?
I'm performing next in Salt Lake City.
Oh, nice.
But my one-woman show is going to be in Provincetown. It's the first time I'm going to be in P-Town. I don't know if you've ever been.
I really want to go. I heard it's amazing.
Everyone says it's amazing. I'm so excited to see it. But I can't wait to see what I do. We'll find out. And I can't wait to see what you do, Kat Cohen, because
I'm
you've
big on
done...
booking the dates and showing up and saying something has to blood. The blood has to come out of the forehead now.
Forehead, yeah, now, right, yeah, and that's where I am. So, thank you for
thank you for
checking in with us. I really appreciate it.
Always and, a pleasure to see your gorgeous face. Enjoy the Prosecco. Get some sleep because it's late where you are, and I'm worried about you. One day you have to come and do a bit at Club Cumming on one of my shows. That'd be so fun.
You can't stop me. I'd really love to do that. I have new material that I'm trying to work the kinks out of, so I'd love to do that with you.
Oh, yeah. As much time as you want. That'd be so fun.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Wow. Get some rest. I'll see you soon, I hope, and have a safe flight back. Enjoy your time in London.
Thank you, baby. We'll be talking to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Caitlin. Those were our interviews today, and... two of our favorite ladies are doing so well
and
in
New
their
Yorkers.
Lives. New Yorkers.
We love that.
We love that.
Big New York theme on this episode.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
Because New York is really just a metaphor for America.
It's the center of the universe.
It's the center of the universe. On the seventh day, God created New York. I had a really good time talking to these ladies. I forgot that Sarah Silverman, when we first talked to her, just had the West Village shop.
Yeah, that, and I don't even think it was like a store. It was like you could place custom orders, but
right.
It wasn't how she has her storefronts now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. Kat Cohen, she only had her book of poetry. I think of her as a Netflix personality now, but she hadn't even signed for that.
Wow.
Basically,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've seen them grow and do big things and make big moves and still feel like they haven't done enough, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about when we think about our own accomplishments, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, no, it's true. Is it because I never think of my accomplishments as being enough?
Mm-hmm.
But also, on the theme of this podcast, I think that women are told that their accomplishments are not enough.
Very true. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
They're harder on themselves and they feel like they have to do more to prove more to the world in a way.
Yeah. I feel like men are pretty big on congratulating themselves for where they graduated from. Their app that they're working on.
So definitely.
It's interesting to see these powerhouse women feeling like they have bigger moves to make and pushing hard still because, I don't know.
Well, we think they have done great things so far, but we look forward to seeing what else they do also.
Oh, absolutely. So everybody, keep your eyes open for what Sarah Silverman at Funny Face Bakery and what Kat Cohen, comedian extraordinaire, So keep your eyes open for what they do next, because I know that if they've done this much in a year, they're going to do more in the coming years. So, anyway, enough about that. I want to say this again. If you liked your time with us today and over the past couple of months, almost years, make sure to rate and review our podcast. I'm like getting emotional now.
I know, I'm like, I can't believe it's the last time we'll ever do this.
I know.
Little speech.
We love reviews. We have loved all of your reviews. In fact, we love them so much. We're going to read one of our favorite reviews right here, right now, at the end of the show. Caitlin, on tour, we've been meeting some of the amazing people who submit reviews. Do you have a favorite review this week?
Yes, I do. This is one that was left after our Margaret Cho episode, and it's called Solid Gold. Now that you've had Margaret Cho as a guest, who would I want to hear next? Indeed, perhaps Loretta Long, better known as Susan from Sesame Street, amazing on stage and in life. I adore this uplifting podcast and continue to be delighted by each episode.
I can't.
Now I feel bad. It's our last episode, but she gave us a great guest recommendation.
Oh, my God.
So maybe one day we'll have to raise it.
From the dead.
From the dead, yeah.
And bring
in a while.
It back.
Yeah.
And I want to tell everybody that has left us a review or come up to us on the street and told us that you, or at a meet and greet and told us that you love the podcast, that it means the world to us. This has been our baby. And I don't know. It is tempting to think of a future where we bring it back because we have so many stories that we want to tell and so many people that we want to talk to.
And it's nice to hear that people listen and are inspired by it.
Yeah. Well, Caitlin, for the last time, that brings us to my favorite part of the podcast.
Your favorite part.
Yep. The most emotional part. One last time, we've reached this moment, everybody. This podcast was produced by Caitlin Gredham.
Oh, was.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
And then I did it. The cast included me and also Caitlin, my co-pilot in life and so many other things, my spiritual co-pilot. And it was distributed by the amazing Studio 71. So thank you for joining us over the past months. Make sure to keep us in your hearts. And as always, remember, if you ever feel down, all you have to do is look into the mirror and say,
"She's a woman!"
And I'll be with you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. We love you so much. Thank you for sticking with us. We'll be back in some form, whether it be YouTube or...
Well, maybe not.
TikTok.
YouTube or, oh, God. Anyway, for now... follow Ms. _ Cracker on Instagram.
Yeah, and we'll give you the news because we're doing great things. We're making big moves. And I'm trying to be a woman who believes in herself, like the women on this podcast.
Okay, yeah,
good plan. And for all of my friends who have children, and for all of our listeners who have children, I hope that you share these stories with your kids because I think that it's so important that women believe in themselves and everybody believe in women. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, Caitlin, you get to go to sleep.
I'm so tired.
And I get to go to sleep. Oh, my God.